Well, good morning. Welcome to Faith Point Church. We're so glad that you could join us on this July 4th weekend. Boy, summer's like halfway done already. It feels like it's been going on forever, doesn't it? Well, hey, we are so glad that you could join us today. My name is George. I'm the pastor here, and we're glad that you could join us for this message. We are talking about summer smarts. This summer, I thought that it would be good for us to take a dive into the Old Testament book of Proverbs, a book that is just ripe full of wisdom, of wise sayings for us. It's my hope and my prayer as we have been doing this, as we're walking this journey, is that we will discover really some timeless truths about how we as the people of God are supposed to live in this world as the people of God, people who are wise, people who make good choices, people who make smart choices. The book of Proverbs is really for us wisdom. It is wisdom on how to live in God's word, in God's world. In Proverbs 8, 30 through 35 through 36, we read these words, "For whoever finds me," referring to wisdom, "finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me," again, those who miss wisdom, "injure themselves. All who hate me," wisdom, "love death." Now, it's an interesting picture that it paints, doesn't it? Is it this idea of wisdom, we are smart if we pursue it, and if we don't pursue wisdom, we love death. Harsh words. But the idea here is that God has laid out for us in his word, from Genesis to Revelation, the kind of people he wants us to be. And in the book of Proverbs, we find, again, as I said, this amazing amount of wisdom, how we can make just good choices. The truths that we find in Proverbs are not really hard for us to interpret. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I think the book of Proverbs is one of the most practical books in the entire Bible. That we can actually read these words and we don't have to go to a commentary or a dictionary or something else to discover the point for us. It's literally laid out right there for us. And so in the midst of this series, I just had this prayer for us. I've had this prayer that we as the people of God would desire to have wisdom. It's my prayer for my kids, is that they would be so wise, that they would be able to discern truth from lie, fact from fiction, that they would be smart, that they would have this desire to have wisdom, to be able to make really good choices. Because how many of the problems that we have in our lives are really brought upon, not by what other people do, but really the majority of problems that we have in our lives, I believe, are a result of the choices that we make. And so I want my kids, just like the author says over and over again, my child, my son, he would also say my daughter today, I want you to have wisdom. So my prayer is that we would desire to have wisdom, that we would learn where to get it. And again, for us as Christians, it's God's word. It's timeless, it's true, it's inerrant. It tells us. God doesn't say you have to just guess. God lays it out for us that where we can find wisdom. And so it's been my prayer that we would learn, that we could dig into God's word so that we could be the people that God created us to be, to enjoy the abundant life that God really intended us to live. And that leads to the third part. Not only that we would desire to have wisdom, that we'd learn where to get wisdom, but we would begin to live it. That we would put the timeless truths that we find in all of Scripture, but especially during this series that we'd find in the book of Proverbs, that we would just really put it into practice, that we would begin to live it. You know, the idea here is God wants the best for us. And so God has laid out for us the kind of people he wants us to be, the kind of choices he wants us to make, the kind of direction he wants us to go. The idea is that it should be thy will be done, not my will be done. And I believe that the quicker that we discover that, the more we get on the right path, the right journey, the right trajectory for being the kind of people that God created us to be. Now, last week, I shared with you what I think is probably the single most important verse in all of Proverbs. 31 chapters, I think the single most important verse in the entire book we find in chapter 4, verse 23. And we talked about that last week. We're going to review it a little bit, but then we're going to add to it. Because I left something off last week. I left it off intentionally, knowing where we would go today. But there's one more piece to it that rounds it off to make us, to help us to understand to the fullness of what it is intending for us. In Proverbs 4:23, we read these words. And actually, would you just read this with me? It's up on the screen. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now imagine that. Our writer has said, guard your heart, because the heart for the ancient people believed that that was the seat of the soul, that everything flowed out from the heart. You get the heart, you get you. And so our author is saying, guard your heart, protect it, keep it safe, keep it sacred, keep it special. Don't let anything get your heart that shouldn't get your heart. Guard it above everything else, because what gets your heart gets you. So we gotta guard it, because what gets our heart will determine the course of our lives. What gets our heart will determine the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, the places we go, the places we don't go. And so our author says, I want you to get this. Guard your heart, protect it, keep it sacred above everything else, because it is going to determine where you go and how you get there. And so last week, I shared with you three ideas that we need to be aware, attuned, and attentive to. Number one, who and what we listen to. And again, just as a review, we've got to be so aware that whatever we listen to does, in fact, affect us. It does impact us. They're not just lyrics that you're listening to. When you listen to music, it affects you. It impacts you. And we have to be so aware of who and what we listen to. So in Proverbs 4:24, we were cautioned about this. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Somebody's gossiping, walk away from it. Somebody's dissing on somebody, walk away from it. Don't be a part of the problem, right? So if you are around a place where divisive talk is happening, where corrupt talk is happening, where not good talk is happening, our author says, avoid it. Get away from it. Don't be around it, because who and what we listen to affects us. It impacts us. It affects our direction, and it affects our destination. So we have to be aware, attuned, and attentive to who and what we listen to. We have to be aware, attuned, and attentive to what we look at, what gets our eyes, what we fixate on, what we see. We have to be able to put filters on so that we can look at things with a correct perspective. We have to be so careful what we look at. And so our author says in 4:25, look straight ahead. Just look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. You know why? Because so many of us get into so many problems. Why? Because we see it and we want it now, right? We know that with our kids, right? You put some money in their hand, what do they want to do? Spend it. Some of us are adults. Are just like our kids, right? So we've got to be a people who we are so aware of what we look at, because what gets our eyes gets our attention. What gets our attention gets us. So we've got to be so aware, so attuned, so attentive to who and what we look at. And don't fool yourself. What we look at gets us. So we have to be aware, attuned, and attentive to what we listen to what we look at. Last week we talked about that we have to be the same for the way we live, right? Our choices, the things that we do and the things that we don't do. Look what it says in Proverbs 4:26 and 27. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. That is so practical, right? Like, stay on the path. I just heard on the news, it's horrible news that happened at the Grand Canyon yesterday. There was a woman who got on, as a family, taking a hike on a path. She got off the path. You know, they put ropes, they put poles, they put all these things, right? And you see the signs, stay on the path. Why? Because if you get off the path, you're going to put yourself in danger, right? So all over the Grand Canyon, if you go to Natural Bridge, if you go to all these places, right, stay on the path. You know what happened to her? She got off the path to take a picture of her family, and her feet gave way. She fell off the cliff 100 feet and died. Why? She got off the path. Do you know the same thing happens to us in a spiritual way or an emotional way or a relational way? When we get off the path, God has laid it out for us. But too often we think we know better. We think, oh, God, I can handle that. Or we don't listen to our parents. Again, what we see in Proverbs over and over and over and over again is, my child, listen. My son, listen. Now, this was written during a patriarchal time. So what we see is the language is really specifically addressed to my son. But you know what it's really saying? My daughter and my son, my kids, listen up. Because God just wants us to stay on the right path. Because we get off the path, it leads to destruction. We get off the path, we can die. And so God's word lays out for us the path of who and what we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus. So we talked last week that we got to be so attentive to who and what we listen to, by the what we look at, by the way we live. But there's one other that's so important that the author of Proverbs, Solomon, who we believe wrote most of Proverbs, devotes most of chapter 5, most of chapter 6, and a good portion of chapter 7 to addressing one other way of how we are supposed to guard our hearts above all else, because it determines the direction and destination of your life. We have to guard our hearts in the way we love. Huge. The way we love. We have to be aware, attuned, and attentive to the way we love. And so our author tells us, he tells us in Proverbs 5:15, share your love only with your wife. Again, this is a patriarchal culture, so we've got to read it contextually that this also says, share your love only with your husband. In Proverbs 5:18, let your wife be a fountain of blessings for you. It says to us as well, let your husband be a fountain of blessings to you. And so what we see in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 is wisdom's way for love. Do you know why we need wisdom's way for love? Because ours is so messed up. All you got to do, watch TV, look at the media, listen to the news, look at our friends. We have this so messed up. And God has laid out for us the wise way for love. Now, my guess is that some of you, I've asked you in this series, I give you an assignment every week, right, to read ahead and ask, see where God might be speaking to you in the midst of these verses. And y'all did much better this week than you did last week. Last week I had one person. This week I had several people share this with you. But I'm sure that some of you are reading this going, I wonder what he's going to talk about this week. Because there's some pretty beautiful language in chapter 5 and 6, and then we get to 7, right? Some amazingly beautiful language about wisdom's way of love. And surmise it to say, it's about purity. It's about righteousness. It's about faithfulness. It's about pure relationships between husbands and wives, wives and husbands, and it's about purity for sons and daughters. That's what 5 and 6 and 7 is all about, is the Bible lays out for us in so many places, and especially right here, it lays out for us wisdom's way of love. Now, I have invited you to share with me where God is like speaking to you in the midst of this, so I thought I would share with you some of the things that you shared with me about where God spoke to you in the midst of this. I love this one. This person wrote, what I read was that we got to be strong and do not stray, because there will be consequences to pay. I think this person's poetic because we have several of those in there. If you do, stay away from drama. The short time of pleasure will give a lifetime of guilt and agony. Your heart will hurt. This has really opened my eyes to the meaning here, because I never took the time to read Proverbs in the past. I love this line. It all makes perfect sense. And this is how I see it. Common sense. Summer smarts. This person, I love this. Bad choices only lead to more bad choices and lead to death. Spiritual death, and there is nothing that should matter more than your soul and your relationship with God. This person talks about how the fact that the message I see is that God is clearly giving us a warning that the temptation of adultery is all around us. We as Christians must be alert and stay on the path of righteousness, being satisfied and enjoying the spouse that God has provided for us. This one, it occurred to me not long ago as I thought, I hope so-and-so never learns of my sin. That would be embarrassing. That God already knows my sin, and how could I be any less embarrassed by that? The realization was proverbial come to Jesus moment for me. And then I like this one. The last part of 5:19, may you ever be intoxicated with her love. There are a few things we have control over in our life. One of them is our focus, what we choose to keep thinking about and delighting in. So you've hit on many of the amazing places that Proverbs 5 and 6 talk about in this idea of wisdom's way of love. Remember what I said at the beginning? It's my desire, it's been my prayer that you would desire it, that you'd learn about it, and that you would live it, that you would believe it and live it. Well, what we see for wisdom's way of love is these two verses lay out for us just a really practical way to have a right relationship with our husband or our wife. Or if you're not married, to have the right relationship intimately with somebody so that you don't have those kinds of relationships that are destructive for you. So the very first wisdom expression, wisdom's way of love, says this: listen to godly advice. Again, we've seen this over and over, and we are going to continue to see this. And again, it's the picture of a father looking at his son. So we got to put sons and daughters in there, right? That we say, listen to me. Listen to what I'm sharing with you. I know that many times our kids think, ugh, what does dad know? What does mom know? Or, oh, they just don't want me to have fun. That is so not true. I know as parents, we want our kids to have a lot of fun within boundaries, right? Of making good choices, of not making a choice today that is going to affect your destination tomorrow. And so wisdom's way of love says, listen to godly advice. 5:1, my son, my daughter, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment and your lips will express what you have learned. We picture it, right? The father's going, listen, listen. I have smart things to tell you. Proverbs 5:7, so now my sons, my daughters, listen to me. Never stray from what I am about to say to you. When I've been reading Proverbs, this idea in my head just keeps coming around that I picture our author saying, okay, let me tell you one more time, right? Because we do that with the people we love, right? Let me tell you again. Let me tell you one more time. I'm going to tell you one more time. One more time. Listen, 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 listen. We have to listen to godly advice, to our parents, to our fathers, to our mothers. Again, in 6:20, it says, "My son, listen to your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instructions." Again, our author wants the reader to understand that there is godly advice out there, and that's what we should be listening to. Kids, youth, it's not your friends. Your parents actually do know more than your peers do. Adults, we've got to listen to godly advice, not just what we want, but godly advice. It's so important for us to find godly men and women in our lives who can speak truth into our lives so that we will listen to godly advice when it comes to wisdom's way of loving. Now, it's interesting because what our author does is lays out for us kind of this step, 1, 2, 3, 4, of fatal attractions. You remember that movie? Some of you, that's a disgusting movie, wasn't it? I mean, but that movie actually, we see what's happened in Proverbs, like, gets played out in that movie. That, again, it's a disgusting, do not watch that movie. It is not good for you. But what our author lays out for us is we've got to watch out for the fatal attractions that suck us in, that grab us, that when we see our authors warning us, like, stay away from these destructive relationships because they're not good for you, they're going to affect you in a really hazardous way. And in chapter 5, it just lays out for us kind of how that unfolds, what that looks like, beginning in verses 3 and through 6 of chapter 5. It warns us that fatal attractions, they begin with flattery. They begin with people buttering you up by complimenting you, by talking good about you, by trying to get on your good side. We all like to be flattered, right? I mean, we all like to have our ego lifted up, right? But there are people that we see in Proverbs, there are people who their end is not good. But in here, our author talks about the immoral woman, but you know there's just as many immoral men as there are immoral women. That's why we have to put both men and women in the context of these words. We see in Proverbs 5:3, "For the lips of an immoral woman or man are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil." If somebody that you meet is telling you everything that you ever wanted to hear great about yourself, be really careful, because none of us are that good. But fatal attraction begins by people like flattering us, by telling us all this good stuff, but buttering us up. And see, the Bible actually addresses that too, because in 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching." Like, that happened back then, right? We all want to hear the really good stuff about us, flatter us, right? Lift us up. Well, we got to be careful. So our author says, be careful here, because fatal attractions, they begin with flattery, but then they are fueled with flirting, hanging in there, work in the relationship. And our author says, don't flirt with sin. In other words, don't think that you're stronger than you are. Proverbs 5:7-8. "So now, my sons and daughters, listen to me." There it is again, right? You see this? Like, over and over. Listen, 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 listen. "Never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her or him. Don't go near the door of her house." Now, the picture that we see is the dad speaking to the son, saying, okay, be careful where you're going. Like when you see this immoral woman kind of saying, hey, come over here, like, no, 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 stay away. Don't even, like, go close to her door. Don't set yourself up for failure. Be attuned and aware of what you're looking at, of what you're listening to. Because what we look at and what we listen to and the way we live and what we give our heart to affects our destination. So we've got to guard our hearts above all else. So we see that fatal attractions begin with flattery. They're fueled with flirting, but they quickly begin to fracture. Again, we find ourselves doing stuff that we wouldn't do normally. We find ourselves being enticed into doing things that are not good for us, and that begins to create fractures or cracks in our relationships. Proverbs 5:9, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. So our author's warning us, be careful. Don't get sucked in. Don't allow the flattery and the flirting to pull you in, because you're going to begin to see your relationships fracture and deteriorate. And as that begins to happen, what we eventually see is that they end in failure. See, when we do relationships the way that God says not to do relationships, they not only fracture, but they lead to failure. But when we do relationships the way God says to do relationships, we set ourselves up for success. We set ourselves up for amazing relationships. And God wants the best for us. In Proverbs 5:22 and 23, it says, an evil man is held captive by his own sin. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. In other words, our author is saying, be careful. You are going to set yourself up for failure by your choices. Again, an overarching theme that we continue to see in Proverbs is we are the product of our choices. So be careful. Be aware. Be attuned. Be attentive to who and what you listen to, by what you look at, by the way you live, and by who you love and how that love gets played out. So what our author is going to tell us is don't get stuck in the moment, but look ahead. Look ahead. Don't be a person who seeks that immediate gratification right now. That even though right now it might feel good, we love to be flattered and flirted with, and we might feel so super great about ourselves, but don't live for the moment. Because if you begin to do relationships the way God says not to do relationships, it is not going to go well for you. And so we've got to be a people who look ahead. We got to look past today into tomorrow. One of the things I talk to young people about all the time, for instance, is be careful what you post on your social media. Because once you put it out there, it's like out there forever. And I will tell you, when you might not think it's a big deal, because right now it's fun, when you're in high school. You might think it's not a big deal. It's fun when you get to college. But then when you begin start applying for those jobs and you like, I really want this job, and your employer goes to Facebook and puts your name in there, and they might get a picture of you that is not a good picture of you, right? That you'd be like, I don't want them to see that. But once you put it out there, it's out there. So we have to be, we got to look past the today towards the tomorrow. We've got to look ahead, because the decisions we make, the things we do today, don't just stay there. They affect our tomorrows and all of our tomorrows. So we've got to look ahead. In the context of relationships, as we see our author talking about in 5, 6, and 7, is we see our author saying, be so careful. Don't get caught up in a relationship now that will have a negative effect on you tomorrow. As a matter of fact, our author says, run from that. Don't look at it. Don't listen to it. Like, avoid it at all costs. Listen and be aware Again, we see in Proverbs 6:20 through 23, our author. I just, again, picture our author like literally begging his sons and daughters to hear these words. My son, again, my daughter as well, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instructions. Keep their words always in your heart. Again, why is it got to always be in our heart? Because we got to guard our heart. Why? Because our heart determines where we go, right? So guard your heart. Keep it in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. In other words, when we internalize the commands and the instructions of our fathers and our mothers, they will affect how we live. So that when we're living, when we get enticed, when we are flirted with, when we are flattered, we're still going to hear our mothers or our fathers' voices in the back of our minds going, no. Don't listen to that. Don't get caught with that. What do you want in life? Is the short-term pleasure worth the long-term gain? We got to listen to that. For their command is a lamp and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to live. The way to live. So how would I summarize this? I would summarize it this way. That I think our goal as the people of God is to live all of life in the light of eternity. In other words, we should live all of life not thinking about just today, but we should be living our lives thinking about eternity, about thinking about what lies ahead. I might have shared this with you that I remember when I was learning how to drive, which I was chomping at the bit. I remember at 10 and 12, I'd sit in the car in the driveway and I'd take myself on nice long trips and I just loved to drive. Or if dad was driving or mom was driving and I got to sit in the front seat, I could put my hand on the steering wheel and, you know, felt like I was really driving. Or remember when you'd go to like the amusement park and you'd get in those little cars that you really feel like you're driving but you're really on your track and they go like this, you know, because you feel like you could drive off the track and go in the direction that you want to. Is that I was chomping at the bit to drive. And I remember when my dad was teaching me to drive, I was like, how do you know that you're supposed, that you are where you're supposed to be in the lane? And dad said, okay, here's what you can do. You can look out and you can look at the center of your hood. And if the center of the hood lines up with the line over there, you are smack dab in the middle. You know exactly where you're supposed to be. And that's really good, right? When is that a problem? When you're just looking at the front of your hood and the line over here and you don't see what's coming up ahead of you. So I was like, but dad, how do you do that? He said, just keep looking out. Look ahead. Because when you look ahead, you'll stay in the right lane. And that's what Scripture is teaching us. When we look ahead towards eternity, we stay in the right lane. We don't get enticed by the immoral man or woman. We don't get lured in by flattery and flirtation because we live thinking and living in light of what's ahead. And we're going to see this theme over and over and over again. I would close with this one other word of caution because I think it's so appropriate to what our author is talking about in these chapters of Proverbs. And we pick up on this theme of wisdom in love. In Song of Solomon 8:4, where it says, promise me, O women of Jerusalem. And again, we've got to put the men in there as well. Promise me, O men of Jerusalem. Let's make it really contextual. Promise me, O men and women, youth of Floyd's Knobs, not to awaken love until the time is right. And God tells us when that time is right. He tells us how to have that kind of relationship so that we discover this amazing relationship that God has and wants for us, and we don't mess it up because we're living in the light of eternity and we're keeping our eyes straight ahead. We're being attuned and aware and attentive to what we look at, to what we listen to the way we live and what gets our heart. So we've got to be a people who are careful, who are wise, who develop summer smarts so that we keep going in the direction that God wants us to go. Because you know what? As I say over and over again, God is not a cosmic killjoy. God wants us to have fun. God wants us to have a great life. God wants us to experience amazing things. But he has a way for us to do that. And he lays that out for us. So may we be a people who desire wisdom, who look for ways to learn about wisdom, and then the people who live it, who believe it and live it, because we know that God's ways are the best ways. So where are we going from here? So next week, I want to invite you to read Proverbs chapter 7 and chapter 8. Now, what you're going to see in chapter 7 is a lot of what you saw in 5 and 6. So again, why is that important? Because if the author carries a theme over and over again, that's the author's way of going, hey, this is a big deal. Pay attention here because there's lots of lessons. So read 7 and 8, and then I'm going to invite you to once again just share with me, like, what is God teaching you? What are some of the smarts that you're developing this summer so that you might experience the abundant life that God has for you? Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Father, I pray that you would help fuel in us this desire to look for and to learn and to live lives that are just marked by wisdom. That God, you have laid out for us in your word, your timeless, inerrant, authoritative word, how we're supposed to live, the kind of people that you want us to become. That you lay this out so clearly for us so that we can apply the wisdom that you have for us so that we might be the kind of people you want us to be. And so, God, I pray that as we continue to dig in to your word, that, God, you would just, again, inspire us and fuel us in such a way that we would look and listen and live and love the way you intended for us. God, I know that you want the best for each and every one of us in here. And that means that there's stuff that not only we got to learn, but for many of us, there's stuff we got to unlearn and relearn so that we might realize just how good you are and how you have the best in store for us. So God, I pray that we would live wisdom so that we might experience the way, the life that you intended. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.